Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. If you find yourself needing legal representation, Marcos and his team are East Tennessee's premier DUI, criminal defense, and personal injury lawyers. Needing a lawyer is a serious situation. You're going to want a serious lawyer that's going to get the best result possible for you. Marcos and his team will work tirelessly to do that. Marcos Garza has your back. Again, GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. Let's get to today's sad episode after I lost to Florida. Let's go.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass. He can't do math. He's an idiot. He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch. It's Thursday. It's Groundhog Day, February 2nd. Seth, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, John. How are you doing?
Well, you know, the mood of this podcast is going to be drastically different than if we would have done it yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true.
Which I'm glad that we didn't do it yesterday because we would have said some really outrageous stuff about how good the basketball team is, probably, and how we weren't worried about Florida just to turn around and get our ass kicked by Florida. But I would have been in a better mood recording it, and I'm kind of down in the dumps today. The old catch-22, if you will.
Yeah.
I think I use that correctly. I always lose confidence when I actually say catch 22.
Well, you used it correctly because everyone that listened to it is going to understand it. Yeah. Understand what you're saying. So you used it correctly.
I was going to say, I don't think that's a true catch 22. Like a because I always just kind of use it interchangeably with a lose-lose situation, but that's not exactly true. I know it's supposed to be like, you can't win because of X, so, like, it's not really the way to use it. But the audience gets it. The audience understands. We're losers. We got our ass kicked by Florida.
Man, I dreaded that game all day. I dreaded that game yesterday. I just... ugh. It was good, though, for one thing, I think. It was a good reminder of the limitations that this team has, and that for everything that we see and everything that I talk about or we talk about of how this team is statistically the best Tennessee team of all time, they're the best defense of all time, blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, they just go through too many stretches where they cannot throw it in the ocean. And, like, the argument of whether this team is better than Grant's senior season or Grant's junior season or Grant's sophomore season, blah, blah, blah. It's like, maybe they are. Maybe in a 7-game series, this team beats them like a drum. Maybe. I don't know. But in a 1-game series, it's just this team goes through stretches where they don't hit shots. It's been the same story for the second. It's the second year in a row that this has been the story. So it's not like anything last night surprised me. Normally, because like I remember when this kind of stuff happened last year, like I would just turn the game off or whatever, and I would sit there and watch it, and I wouldn't be mad. The only reason that last night disgusted me so much was because they actually answered the bell really, like, okay, they didn't start out hot. It's a road game against a team that has to have the win. They didn't start out well. That's fine. It happens. You're playing on the road. But they answered the bell really well, I thought. And they got up 6. They got up 44-38. So to lose the game after that point is inexcusable, in my opinion. It's disgusting. Last night was disgusting. You still have road games at Kentucky and at Auburn, right?
Correct.
And you're losing at Gainesville, and you just went down another game to Alabama?
Yeah, going down another game to Alabama hurts a lot because they don't have a lot of even tough road trips left on their schedule. They have to come here to Knoxville, and I do still think we beat them in TBA. I do still think we are going to kick Auburn's ass on Saturday in TBA. But I do lose confidence that we will be able to go 3-0 at Texas A&M, at Kentucky, and at Auburn. I just don't have a lot of confidence in us on the road. We didn't play well in Mississippi either against Ole Miss or Mississippi State. Both those games we kind of fluttered in for a while. So, yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence on this team going on the road. With that being said, you don't have to go on the road in the tournament, so I don't even know how much that Correct. Actually matters in the long scheme of things.
Correct. Yeah, I just, like, last night was really disgusting to me because of the fact when they got up 44-38, I thought that the beatdown was about to start. And I was correct. The beatdown did start. It just didn't start and happen to the team that I thought it was. I mean, we were winning 44-38, and we lost 67-54.
I think Stare in the Discord pointed out, I haven't checked the numbers, stats by John might be misleading here, but he said that from the moment we went up 44-38, they immediately responded with a 29-10 run. So basically tripled our scoring from that point on. I don't know about for the entire game, but their 29-10 run following, you know, essentially ended the game. Not good. Not good. And, you know, I know I've talked a lot about not having a go-to scorer, and I do still feel that way. You know, I want it to be Kumwa or Phillips. Like, I do want somebody to be able to get us out of a funk whenever we do go on these offensive droughts. But, you know, sometimes college players and college teams just can't do that, especially on the road. Like, I know it wasn't Grant's junior season, but I was going back and looking at the 2018 team, and, you know, we got our ass kicked by Alabama, a pretty mid
Alabama
team. They beat us, I think, 78-50, I believe, was the final score.
It was like a 30-point loss to Colin Sexton.
Yeah, 78-50. That team, I think, ended up 8-10 at Alabama.
They were an 8 or a 9 seed in the tournament.
Yeah, the very next road game we have, we went out and got our ass kicked by Georgia, a bad Georgia team, because all Georgia basketball teams are bad since Sunday out of Gaines. And, you know, that team still made you feel like they had a chance to get to the Final Four when the tournament came. Now, granted, you know, they ran into Loyola and didn't get it done. And even in Grant's junior year, I want to say we went 4-6 our last 10 games before the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not right. Maybe it was 6-4. Maybe it was 6-4. Yeah, sorry.
They lost a lot at the end.
Yeah, we lost four of our last last 10. And went from, you know, undefeated in SEC play, and, you know, we ran to that buzzsaw Kentucky at Lexington. But, you know, kind of came back down to earth, and when we got to the tournament, still thought we were going to make a run. Point being, the season's long. Last year at this time, we were 16-6 through 22 games, I believe. Went on a big run, won the SEC tournament, and got to the tournament, and guess what? Thought we had a chance to make a run to the Final Four. So, I guess I say all that just to say this isn't unusual in college basketball.
No, you're 100% correct. And that's the thing to me is that it's not. It happens. We know that it happens every year. The reason why last night was so just disgusting to me was because they fought back and they got up 6 and it looked like it wasn't going to be. Because I think that winning last night, especially the way that the game started, winning that game last night would have been a really nice win.
It would have felt like Mississippi State, except against a team you actually care about. Because let's face it, we don't care about Mississippi State basketball.
And they just totally gagged all over themselves. I mean, like, you just look at, I mean, like, Kumwa and Josiah and Vescovy went a combined 8 for 36.
Yeah, I mean, you have the box score pulled up. I mean, what was Josiah and Vescovy from three? Was it like 1 of 11 or something like that?
They were 1 of 11 from three.
Overall, I think they were 4 of 23, I think, like from the field, yeah. Just those two.
Yeah, Josiah is just, it's maddening to me because Josiah puts up these shots that look so perfect and they go in and out. And it's just like, are you kidding me? How is that not going in?
Well, sometimes it's just the way that goes when you're on the road or away from your home court. Like, I don't want to make it and simplify it and just be like, well, if you hit the shots you're supposed to make, you win. But that's why it's so tough to play on the road. And you combine that with poor officiating, which I'm not blaming last night's game on officiating by any means, but that's just the whistle you get when you go on the road in the SEC. We didn't get a good whistle. We definitely didn't benefit from it.
Yeah, I also think that all the stuff that was said about how deep Tennessee was, and I honestly don't think Tennessee's bench is that good. Like, until Tyreek Key ever hits a shot.
Yeah, Tyreek Key is doing his best Antonio Barton impression right now.
I was thinking James Daniel.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, that's fair, too. I was just thinking of a guy that I had high hopes for that came here and didn't hit any shots for most of the year, and then hopefully rebounds and does a little bit better at the end of the year. I didn't have very high hopes for James Daniel.
I just meant, like, all you wanted, like, all I want Tyreek Key to do is just to be able to hit a three when he's open. Kind of like all I wanted James Daniel III to be able to do, just hit an open three. And Key can't hit anything, man. He can't hit anything.
I would like to know how the hell he did that against Gonzaga.
Seriously. I thought that Olivier could have won the game by himself last night. Like, I didn't think they could stop him again. I thought that he just didn't have it, but he still got 11 and 9. I mean, it's tough to really put it on him when...
I thought his guards last night didn't do a good, very, very good job of setting him up.
They did not. They did not.
It only says 3 turnovers for Zakai, but it didn't seem like he had very many good passes last night.
Yeah. I do think that, like, all that being said, Tennessee is probably going to be 21-4 when Alabama comes to town.
I would imagine so. They got, what, Auburn, then they got
Vandy, Missouri, with
Missouri being at home. You should win all 3 of those games. And then I think you're still going to beat Alabama.
And then if you beat Alabama, well, you're right back to being ranked like 2nd or 3rd or 4th, probably. I mean.
Correct.
Like, you know, you're going to fall to like 6th, and then you're going to win all these games and beat another top 5 opponent, and then you're going to be ranked 2nd or 3rd again.
Florida is not a bad loss.
No, they're really good on defense.
They're the number 8 team ranked on defense. I don't know where they were heading into the game last night, but on KenPom, you know, they're the 38th team now after beating us. And, I mean, last year, I compared it on the radio show today, like, you took, if you look at Kansas last year, they lost a similar-ish game at TCU. You know, TCU beat them by 10 at the beginning of March, and of course, we know what Kansas did after that. So, sometimes it bees like that.
Yeah, it does. It's just Florida has one player.
Yeah, and that was maybe the most frustrating.
Florida has
thing.
One guy, and they let him. He's their leading rebounder. He's their leading scorer. And Tennessee let him beat them. Like, they have one guy. That's it. They have one guy. The Will Richard dude from Belmont, like, all he does is shoot threes. He averages like 20 points. Like, he averages like 10 points a game. That's it. Like, it's all Colin Castleton. That's it. And they let Colin Castleton beat them. And we've known this is the 3rd year in a row that all Florida has had is Colin Castleton. He's a pretty good college basketball player.
I think he's a really good college basketball player.
Like, that's all they have for the 3rd year in a row.
Made me nervous for our eventual matchup with Drew Pember.
Have you seen a picture of him lately?
Yeah.
Growing his hair out.
He looks I compared it to the Gordon Hayward from Utah versus the Gordon Hayward right when he got to Boston or whatever.
He's averaging 20 and 10 and 3 blocks and a steal a game.
Yeah, and the other day, like, I saw he went like 6 of 8 from 3, so, like, you know, that's something we could have used. I mean, your point about the bench not being deep, I think it's just you don't have guys you're going to be able to trust on the road. Like Meshack, you can't really play him on the road. Especially if you need, you know, some guys who can score, right? You're not trying to out-defense Florida. You got to try to score some points.
Yeah, I still think that, like, I know that I'm not saying that the only big that I trust is Awaka. The only big I like watching play is Tobey Awaka.
And when you say big, you're not counting Olivier as a big, right? You're talking about...
Correct. However, the only big that I want to play is Kamwa. Like, I don't want to ever not play... I know that they sometimes... he can't play 40 minutes a game. I get it. But, like, I get tilted out of my mind when I see Adu come in and take a shot. I don't care that he hit the second left-handed hook shot. The first one was so bad, I never wanted to see it again. And then, I mean, like, the issues with Plavsic, we don't really need to rehash them. And sure, Adu has a lot of potential and could end up being a really good basketball player. But, like, right now, like, I don't like either one of our... They played 20 combined minutes last night. Like, I can't stand it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you'd have had a walk in, you know, he had two fouls in a minute. I think he would have fouled out. Like Castle, he had no answer for Castleton.
One of the fouls was pretty egregious. Like the other one, I thought was kind of like really they called that. I mean, the fouls kind of like I felt like Julian Phillips just was assaulted all night.
Got to the free throw line three times.
You know, we shot free throws on our very first possession of the game and never shot them again in the first half. Why is Julian Phillips only taking four shots?
Looking at the box score, the thing that jumps out to me, besides how bad Vescovy and James was, were that... let me say that again. Besides how bad Vescovy and James were, was the fact that we got 18 offensive rebounds and scored 54 points.
They had five.
I know you get offensive rebounds from missing a bunch of shots. I understand that. But usually, if you get an offensive rebound, that means you're near the rim. You should be able to put those back up and either get fouled or finish around the rim. And Tennessee got 18 offensive rebounds and scored 54 points.
I feel like at games like last night, like the obvious answer to me is that you put Kamwa on the block and you get him the ball. Or you get him the ball at the elbow facing the basket where he can shoot the mid-range shot and he can make something happen off the dribble. Or you get the ball to Phillips and let him attack the rim. Because nothing's like and I just didn't feel like we did that last night. Phillips took four shots. One was the very first possession of the game. Kamwa, I know he didn't have a great game, but like just keep giving him the ball. It's just a frustrating loss, whatever. It happens on the road. Like, it doesn't, like, it happens. It just is what it is. We see it every year. Like, no team is immune to it. I mean, doesn't Purdue play at Penn State tonight?
No, they played last night and they won.
Did they win?
They won comfortably.
Okay.
They play at Indiana on Saturday.
Okay. Well, maybe Purdue's, you know, immune to it, but as we saw Saturday with Alabama, like teams go on the road and they lose inexplicably. It just happens. But after getting up 6 points, it's disgusting and gross. And with a team that is led by three seniors in the starting lineup, it should not happen. It shouldn't happen. It's inexcusable to me. Like I know that it happens, but it's just disgusting. It's nasty. It's gross.
If we would have recorded this yesterday, we'd have talked about how fun it was kicking Texas's ass and how we're one of the best teams in the country and blah, blah, blah. And here we are 24 hours later and you're disgusted. I can hear it in your voice.
I am disgusted. I am disgusted.
I can hear it. I can hear it.
We've lost like five out of the last 6 years in Gainesville.
That can't be true. I thought we were 8-2 against them, or 7-3.
I thought we had lost like our last like several trips there.
Well, I guess if we were 7-3 against them, that could have been three straight losses at the O Arena or whatever.
They have one. Like it's just whatever.
It's Groundhog Day, Seth. It was Groundhog Day for us in Gainesville, losing again. It's Groundhog Day for the conversations about this team and scoring droughts. It's Groundhog Day for the Rick Barnes doubters that he'll do this again in March. Time is a flat circle. Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day. It's poetic, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, I see a lot of stuff like hammering on Rick about the game last night, and I'm just like, what do you want him to do? Like, He can't make the threes go in. Like, yet again, we're getting good looks.
I thought some of the rotation stuff he could have done better.
Yeah, sure, sure.
I'm not bashing him over it. I'm just saying, like, if that's your critique, then I would be like, okay, yeah, like, I think
sure, yeah.
I think some people said he had two timeouts left at the end of the game. Like, maybe use one of those. But philosophically, like you're saying, you can't make open shots for the players.
Yeah, like the game started out poorly or whatever, and people are clamoring for a timeout, and it's like, guys, we're at the first media timeout, and we're down like 6 points. Just relax. It's a long game. We have a lot of good players, and we ended up, you know, coming back and taking the lead, and then, like, just totally wilting down the stretch. I just, you know, it's like he can't make Julian Phillips shoot the ball. I think we all want to see Julian shoot the ball more. I think Rick does too, but he can't make him shoot the ball more.
See, I kind of disagree to that to some extent. On the radio show today, Cody kind of pointed out, like, with 6 minutes left, they showed the whiteboard in the huddle, and, like, the team's focus was, you know, one stop at a time, you know, all defense, defense, defense. And I get that to an extent. But I do think on offense, you could be hammering home, like, attack the rim, attack the rim,
yeah,
attack
yeah,
the
yeah,
rim.
For sure.
And it doesn't seem like we have done that at times. So I disagree about making Phillips shoot. You can tell him, like, hey, we're drawing this play up. The play is for you to drive to the rim, and if you don't, you're coming to the bench. Like, you can make him at some point just be like, either you're going to have three straight charges and foul out, or they're going to call one charge and give you two fouls, but you're going to the rim three straight possessions and forcing the issue. I don't want you to pass it. I want you to shoot it.
You're right.
I do think you can do that coaching-wise.
You're correct. You're correct. And, like, Mike Palmer texted me last night. He was like, you know, like, if Barnes would just – and I don't know if it's, like, a Barnes thing because, like, Tennessee's had some teams under him where the offense was amazing. But, like, if he would just relax on the defense just a little bit and just open it up someone – I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's not it. Like, maybe, like, the team just – they are what they are.
What I think is Barnes wants to coach the defense hard because I do truly think – that coaches believe the cliche that you can coach defense and it's all about effort and hustle and it travels. And I do think Barnes probably believes that sometimes shots just don't fall. And on the nights those shots don't fall, what am I supposed to do? The system got them open shots, which last night you had some open looks against Michigan, of course. You had some open looks against Kentucky. You had some open looks. You just didn't hit them. So I think Barnes is like, hey, if you just keep playing defense hard, eventually these shots will go in. I think that's kind of a coach mentality.
And there's nothing in that mentality that's really wrong or that I disagree with. It's just like sometimes, like, man, just like go to the rack. Like Julian Phillips, yet again, the most talented player on the floor was Julian Phillips. For like the 30th game time this season, Julian Phillips, most talented player on the floor.
We haven't played 30 games yet, Seth.
I know. It's sarcasm.
It's actually hyperbole.
Yeah, hyperbole. And he's shooting four times. Like,
well, actually.
Come on, man. Like, I just didn't think they could stop Kamwa or Phillips. Like, okay, Vescovy and James can't get it to go down. It happens. Whatever. You know. So let's get Kamwa and Phillips some touches.
Last point about the defense. And, like, yeah, we talked about it the last couple years with Justin Powell, but I do kind of believe it. Like, Justin Powell is good enough to play in the SEC. And, like, sometimes we do miss his shooting. Like, I was looking at his game log and his last game.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well.
He scored 20 points and hit six threes.
He's doing pretty well.
But, like, he didn't really get a shake here because Barnes, you know, wanted defense, defense, defense. Mayshak, defense, defense, defense. Like, I don't know if B.J. Edwards is ready to play offensively. Like, I don't know if
he's I know he needs to be playing.
Yeah, I don't know if he's good enough yet. But, like, you know, I don't think he makes a difference last night in this, you know, in this well, Gainesville.
Correct.
I about caught it the swamp. But in Gainesville, I don't think he makes a difference there. But, like, everybody around the program says, well, he's not ready defensively. He's not ready defensively. Sometimes you need an offensive spark. Sometimes you got to have a Lou Williams that isn't really going to play any defense, but is going to come in and get you six or eight easy points and make things easier for the offense. Yeah, he's going to be a negative on defense and especially, like, one-on-one defense. But that's why we got some big men here to help protect the rim. Sometimes
yeah,
you're going to have offensive players, and I think Barnes wants defensive players.
My issue with like the BJ Edwards stuff is that there is zero excuse not to play him. Because you have, like, okay, Tyreek Key didn't play point guard at Indiana State. You've got two point guards. You've got two true point guards on this team. So what happens if you know, heaven forbid something happens to Zakai? We're just going to run it with Key and James? Yeah, I mean, at this point, yeah, that's what we're going to do. But you had a lot of games. Like, Tennessee beat Mississippi State by over 30 points. They beat South Carolina by over 30 points. They beat LSU by 21 points. They beat Georgia by 30 points. Like, we had all these games to get B.J. Edwards' time in. We had all these chances to get B.J. Edwards' time. And, like, he would never get any. It drove me crazy. He got 2 minutes against Georgia. You won 70-41. He got 4 minutes when you beat South Carolina 85-42. You know, Rick really relaxed some and gave him 7 minutes against Austin Peay when you won by 42 points. Like, what are we doing? Play his ass.
It's the culture. No, it's the culture, and it's you got to buy in on defense before you play and get to play offense. Like, that's what I believe is happening. But, you know, when we're talking about the detriment of the teams, I think sometimes it does play into that.
I mean, look, to me, it's like, okay, he don't want to play. He's not working as hard on defense as you think he needs to. Whatever, Rick, you're a Nazi when it comes to point guards. You ran bone off. But, like, at least figure out if the guy's good enough. Because if he's not, then you can just ship him out to ECU to play for Schwartz or to SMU to play for Rob Lanier. Like, just figure out, bro. Just figure out if he's good enough. Because if he's not, then you need to free up a spot. You need to get him out of the way, because that's more minutes for Freddie DeLeon. Like, just get him out of the way. I mean, that's a weird tangent, I know. But it's just, that's been bothering me lately. We've been beating these teams, these SEC teams, by 30, and B.J. Edwards hadn't been playing. I mean, he was a top 60 player in the nation.
It was worth it to hear you say Freddie DeLeon.
He looked pretty cool last night, I gotta say. He was cracking me up on the bench. That was a highlight of last night, was Freddie DeLeon on the bench laughing with that big afro. I mean, how do you say his last name if not like that?
Oh, I don't know. I that sounds good to me. I just caught me by surprise. I didn't expect a Freddie DeLeon drop out of nowhere.
I mean, he's a top 30 player
he's
in the nation,
stud.
Too.
He's a stud. I'm excited to see him play next year. I wouldn't have minded seeing him play this year because I get texts about it. I get messages about it. The streets aren't loving Tyreek Key, and he's going to become the whipping boy of this team pretty quickly if he isn't already.
Well, it's. I mean, I don't want to make him the whipping boy, but it's like, what do you get when he's in? You get rebounds, I guess, for a guard. You get a pretty good rebounding guard.
At the beginning of the year, I thought you might be like that. Might be your go-to offense when you need a bucket is put him in the post and see if he could do something. Hit his little turnaround 15-footer. I kind of thought Barnes was going to make that the new Grant Williams play.
Like a pretty good rebounding guard is pretty low on my list of desires.
Especially when you have Josiah out there.
Yeah.
You might have needed help whenever he was out, and you're still trying to find your way on the rotation.
Vescovy had 8 boards last night. Like, I mean, like, we have good rebounding guards already. I just don't think Key's going to... I don't see how Key... Like, he's going to play some, I think. Like, but I don't see him getting 12 minutes a game going forward if this keeps up. I mean, I see him getting even less. Just like, I don't really see Meshack. Like, 3 minutes for Meshack, that seems about right. Like, he doesn't give you anything on offense.
Yeah, Meshack will be squeezed out by the time the tournament comes, unless we just have to have somebody go out there and bother somebody for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Like, they put him on Carr against Texas and just kind of let him hound Carr.
Yeah.
But he might be a home-only player. Who knows? The Gramco is a presenting sponsor of Reed's Ranch. What is the Gramco? Well, it is your go-to destination for all your Delta 8 needs. Gramco currently offers numerous Delta 8 products and merchandise, including Wake and Bake Delta 8 coffee, Delta 8 disposable vapes, Delta 8 gummies, the fruit punch is my favorite, and Delta 8 quick mix, pre-rolls, and my favorite, hard candies, some big orange hard candies. Go to thegramco.com, browser selection. Use the promo code BALLS25 for 25% off your order, and then you get free standard shipping for orders over $50, and that shipping is quick and discreet. Must be 21 or older. Gramco offers you an enjoyable, legal high delivered discreetly and directly to you. TheGramco.com. TheGramco.com. Let's get us some Patreon questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRant. Got some new patrons to shout out, Seth.
Good.
We'll start with Gavin Miller. Congrats on the promotion, brother. He upped his pledge from $5 to $10.
Shout out to brother Gavin. We love you and appreciate you.
Gavin took the pinned message and wage cucks to heart. We appreciate Gavin. New $5 patron. This is kind of weird. Jonathan Reed.
Shout out to brother Jonathan Reed.
Always trips me out.
We love you and appreciate you.
Always trips me out. Different spelling. New $5 patron, Ivan Motley.
Shout out to brother Ivan. We love you and appreciate you. Great name. Great name.
I know. Solid. New $5 patron, Daniel Roberts.
Shout out to brother Daniel. We love you and appreciate you.
And new $2 patron, Emmy.
Shout out to sister Emmy. We love you and appreciate you. I assume it was a sister.
I assume so as well. I assume, but you know.
We love our female patrons.
We love them, no matter what. And yes, I do believe it is a woman. So, shout out to Emily. We love and appreciate you. All right, got some rolling in now, Seth. There we go. I told you what my goal was. What, 20 new patrons?
20
this
new
year?
Patrons. 20 new patrons.
All right, we hit a couple. Let's go. Hit some questions.
Brother Dylan asks, if you had to bet your life savings, do we make it out of the first weekend in March?
So my life savings, so $2,200. Am I betting on that to get us out of the first weekend? I would say yes. I feel confident. And maybe, like I said a month ago, if I end up with clown makeup on and believe it in Rick Barnes and this team in March again, so be it. But I would feel comfortable betting, especially I assume at even money, Dylan, that we will get to at least the Sweet 16 this year. I still think we're going to be at least a 2 seed. I think Will said that on Bart Torvik, our percentage chances to be a 1 seed drop from like 54% to 46 maybe.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that Florida loss wasn't bad. That was a quad one game, and we still have
Yeah.
You know, if we beat Alabama twice.
Yeah. You're right.
But I think at the very least we'll be a 2 seed.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think Tennessee's dropping further than 2.
So would I bet my life that we beat a 15 and a 7 or 10? I will say yes. My life savings, not my life, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I would also bet my life. Who cares?
No, I'm not betting my life savings, Dylan. But I do feel pretty good about their chances to get out as a 2 seed. You know, maybe it'll be nice, like, just not to play an 11 seed, you know?
Yeah, let's give us a 7 or a 10.
Let's just not play an 11 seed. How about that? That seems to be a particular Achilles heel. So let's just not play an 11 seed. That's something that I would like. Brother Tegval asks, other than last night, what is one Tennessee basketball game you wish you had seen in person?
I would have liked to have been at the Ohio State game in person. Is he saying like be in the crowd? Is that what the question is?
Yeah, I think so.
Although I had fun. We had a party at the Woodlands. That was pretty fun. We had a great night that night. I can't really think. I mean, there aren't any other big wins of the recent eras that I haven't really been at. It would have been cool, I guess, to see Chris Lofton in the game winner against Winthrop.
Yeah.
If it's in person, I didn't go to the Kansas game in 2010. That would have been cool to be at. I wasn't there for that when I watched it on TV. Do you have an answer?
Ohio State.
Yeah. You didn't go either?
No, I wanted to watch it with my dad.
Yeah.
So I came home and watched it with him. But yeah, that's the 1-2 Memphis game would have been cool too.
Yeah, I wanted to go to that one. I couldn't get anybody to go with me. We were only seniors in high school and nobody's parents let them drive to Memphis. Understandable. I'm just saying, I really wanted to go to that one.
Brother Chad,
that's
our very
probably
first
the right,
patron.
That seems like the right answer. The 1-2 Memphis.
Brother Chad, not Fields, asks, you have to get rid of all tools and can only have one hand tool for the rest of your life. What is it?
Well, I think we can get rid of a hammer. Because I can hammer with other stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What about a screw? Could you screw with other, unscrew or screw things in with other stuff, like a pocket knife? Could you do that if you had to in a pinch?
You can use a pocket knife, especially for, like, you know,
flatheads.
Flatheads. And you can even use a pocket knife for some Phillips.
Yeah, if you have to, or a penny.
Yeah.
So I guess we could get rid of the screwdriver as well. What other hand tools are we looking at?
Well, I thought about a saw. I thought about just a straight up hatchet, but I didn't know if that counted as a hand tool.
I was thinking like axe hatchet too is what I was thinking.
My immediate thought was like a hatchet, but then I was like, is that really count as a hand tool? So then I was going to settle on a hammer. I actually was going to go with the hammer.
I think if you just gave me a rock or something, I could get it done in a pinch.
Yeah.
Like if I had to hammer something in, like if I had to put a nail in, I could find a board or a rock or something to get it done. I was trying to think of like what I couldn't do with other stuff.
Yeah.
Cutting stuff down without a saw would be pretty terrible.
Yeah, a saw, like it's hard to imagine not having a saw, but like the saw is literally only good for one thing.
Yeah, but it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it is, but so is like the ability of a hammer to defend you.
Well, yeah, but if I have a saw, I could defend myself too, or a hatchet.
Yeah, I mean a hatchet for sure.
I could also pick up a rock and defend myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or a gun, or these two hands, or a baseball bat.
I was looking at it from like you're
getting a lot of hammer fights, Seth.
You're Tom Hanks.
You want hammer hands?
And it's Castaway, and it's just you and the volleyball. And you get to choose one tool.
You need a hammer to protect yourself against the volleyball?
I mean, maybe if there's like other, if there's, you know, what if it's like the short story, what is it, The Most Dangerous Game?
Yeah.
What if it's like that? What a cool short story, by the way.
I know, that's what always stands out to me from when I was younger, too.
What a cool short story.
And then I love when Vince Vaughn references it in Wedding Crashers.
Just, yes, yes, yes. I remember watching Wedding Crashers for the first time and he dropped that and I was like, oh, I loved that. Like that's just an amazing short story.
It's gonna get you jacked up like hunting a fucking rhino. Or a human. But a worthy adversary. Unarmed. But he knows the jungle. Someone, Barrister Vaughn in the Discord says he is laughing at me picturing me hammering a nail with a rock. I could get that done. I'm not saying it would look perfect, but what do I need to hammer things for? All you got to do is have someone hold it and you just keep peck, 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 peck till you get it in. That's it. Like a nice stone. You don't think that could happen, Seth?
I think it could happen, yeah.
Like a smooth stone? Like that. How do you think?
I think it would be tough, though.
How do you think the cavemen did it, bro?
Well, I don't think the cavemen had nails.
Well, I know, but they had equivalent to nails. At least I picture, when I'm picturing cavemen, I think of them hitting something, chiseling it down.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they had chisels.
I could easily hold a nail and just keep peck, 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 peck till it gets in. Then you just keep hitting a little bit tougher, a little bit tougher. Then a couple, boom, boom. I mean, at least in my head, that's how it's going down.
Have you ever seen, like, I've heard before, like, you can, like, the Amish can build houses without a nail. Have you ever seen one?
Have I ever seen Amish build a house without a nail? I mean,
like seen a house like that. Like, I wonder how.
I'm trying to think, do they cut it? Is it like Lincoln Logs where they just cut it and, like,
you
stack
can
it
use,
and,
like
screw them together? Screw them together, maybe?
You can use, like, what is the word I'm looking for? Like a dowel rod, I guess.
I don't know what the fuck a dowel rod is.
Is dowel rod the right word I'm thinking of?
No, I don't even know what the fuck quail is. What a great scene of Wedding Crashers. Oh, Mr.
So, I'm just curious.
Mr. Environmentalist is also a hunter. That's interesting.
I just wonder how feasible that is. That's something that's always stuck with me. My mom goes to the Amish people with their Bible study quite a lot. Maybe one Saturday I just need to go with them so I can, like, ask around. If, you know, they won't really talk to you or whatever, just to bother them until they show me one of their houses without nails, just so I can see how feasible I can verify the veracity of this statement.
I hunt quail, Jeremy. They're overpopulated in this region. They're decimating the grubworm population. Damn it, I blew it. Anyways, next
Brother
question.
Brother Thomas, what's the first conspiracy theory / piece of information you would want confirmation of if you became the president of the United States today?
It's always aliens, right?
I think it has to be, right?
At this point, are you more interested in aliens or what they're hiding in Antarctica?
I'm more interested in aliens.
So you don't care about what they're hiding in Antarctica?
No.
You don't care?
I don't care about Antarctica at all. I care about space, though.
You don't care about JFK?
I mean, like, we at least, you know, we have an idea. Like, we know that, you know, there's like 3 or 4 good candidates, and we know that one of them is what killed JFK. I mean,
yeah, it wouldn't really change your life.
Yeah.
It was either the mob or the government or both.
So, no, not really. I mean,
Michael Jackson and Diana Ross? Whether or not she birthed him as a 14-year-old?
Was it with Smokey Robinson?
Yeah. That one.
So you believe it?
You know, the 15 minutes I did researching it, I was pretty convinced.
Yeah. Yeah, I read just a little bit of it, but the guy had some good points.
Yeah, I mean, sold me.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, I'm going with aliens.
What are you going to do with that information, though? I guess any of this information, what are you going to do with it?
Well, I think that the one reason why I wouldn't want to know the alien information is because if you know it, okay, let's say that you learn it, and you learn that, like, hey, by the way, FYI, we've made contact with, like, 3 or 4 different species.
And they don't like us, and they're getting
stronger. They don't like us, and basically, like, the contact, like, we weren't able to communicate with each other, but, like, or we weren't able to understand each other, like, they don't seem very peaceful, but they don't seem very hostile either. It's kind of like,
walk on eggshells, buddy. Don't make them mad.
Walk on eggshells, yeah. It's, Netflix is making a TV show about the Three Body Problem book. It's a Chinese science fiction
book.
About
the what?
The Three Body Problem. It's a very, very, it's a famous book.
What is the Three Body Problem?
It's a Chinese science fiction novel that's been translated to English. And Netflix is adapting it.
What the hell happens in it?
Well, there's this person makes contact. And I'm not going to, no spoilers. But one of the big things is like, is the dark forest theory, which is a very bleak theory, which is it's just I've not ever been able to stop thinking about the dark forest theory and just how bleak it is, the idea that, you know, like other, you know, they're going to try to kill us just for no other reason than like just because they can. And it's very, I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to spoil anything. They're very good books. It's a trilogy.
They're just acting like aliens or monsters that just want to destroy for the sake of destroying. They want to snatch our bodies just because they're the dominant species.
So it's more like the dark forest is the idea that like space is a forest, and the only reason that we haven't found, like the only reason other intelligent life hasn't found us, is because like others, because like everyone's so paranoid, because like the space is just a forest filled with armed hunters.
So basically, everyone's just keeping to themselves because they don't want to get killed by other people.
And as soon as they find someone else, they take them down.
You got to fight at that point.
Yeah, they take them down because like that's a threat. It might not be a threat now, but if life has evolved on that planet to the point where they can, like, they're still around, then eventually they will be a threat.
Basically, this is like Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
You don't want to open up the box. You don't want to open up that box and see that that cat's dead and that those warriors are in that forest, because then you know. And then you got to prepare for them.
Yeah.
Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's a very bleak idea. And it's like,
don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
I would like to know about Abraham Lincoln and the whole vampire hunting conspiracy. That would be what mine would be, Thomas.
Man, wouldn't it be amazing if vampires existed?
And that Abraham Lincoln killed a bunch of them. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Like, it would be so cool if vampires and dragons existed. Because dragons are cool. Like, dragons are awesome. And you could be like, oh, that's such a nerd thing to say. No, dude, dragons are cool. It would be awesome if dragons existed.
Dragons are one of the first thing I remember learning about as a kid that I was like, whoa. Whoa, they were flying and spitting fire out? Holy shit.
Yeah, like, they're amazing.
I didn't care about I can't even think of any. What's the dinosaur with the horns? The Stegosaurus? That's not the Stegosaurus. What's the one with the horns?
Triceratops.
Okay, that's what I was trying to think of. I didn't care about Triceratops. I wanted to think about dragons and fire.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like, Stare says that Reign of Fire did not look like a fun time. I mean, I don't think that dragons are necessarily fun if you're on...
Yeah, I don't want to live with the dragons.
And there's a reason why George R. R. Martin uses dragons as a stand-in for nuclear weapons, okay? Like, they're nukes. Dragons are nukes, but dragons are still cool because they're animals.
Unless you're just taking your dragon out for a joyride and kind of forget about the people on the sea that want to shoot you and kill you, and you just kind of let them take you out and have one of your dragons killed.
Or one of your dragons become an ice zombie.
Yeah.
That's no spoiler. Sorry for anybody I just spoiled, but you know.
Danny kind of.
Show's been out a while.
Danny kind of forgot about the Iron Fleet. Goodness. Any other questions?
Brother Marwan asked the movie you dislike that is generally loved. I asked this one because I saw some banter about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think my answer actually is the one that got the conversation started. I don't care at all for Remember the Titans.
It's a terrible movie.
Oh, okay, I got an ally.
It's a terrible movie. I 100% agree. I'm blown away whenever I remember when I was little, and I thought that movie was awesome. And then I remember when I wasn't little.
Thank you.
I wasn't, like, in college or anything. I just remember, like, or I don't know. I don't remember when, like, I saw it again when I got older, and I was just like, oh, my goodness, this is terrible. It's terrible.
How bad is the football in it?
It's horrible. The whole thing is horrible.
They can't run. None of the players even know how to run. They all look so goofy running. And then they win the big state championship game with a reverse.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to go one way and I'm going to give it to the other guy. It's going to work for 80 yards and a touchdown with like 15 seconds left. You'll never see it coming. I got such a problem with the movie. It's Disney-fied racial harmony. So people, I guess, get goosebumps with it. The only cool part is the, you know, not going to gain another yard part. That part's kind of cool. And I like when Bertier points at the coach, but whatever. Other than that, the rest of the movie is pretty trash. Pretty terrible.
I do probably think there's something to the idea that the game of football has done more to bring white men and black men together than just about, than maybe not everything else, but I think like...
It's been effective, I would say.
I think that like people don't ever think about that, but I would say that the game of football has done more than just about anything to bring a white man and a black man together.
I think it's such a farce. They act like the team...
Oh, the movie is, I'm not talking about, and that's not what they were going I don't think, with that movie.
Well, for a little bit.
The movie is terrible.
And they go to Gettysburg.
I guess the graveyard thing. Like, the movie is terrible. It's atrocious. It is so cheesy. It makes me want to, like, crawl under a rock. I'm blown away. I don't believe that, I understand nostalgia. I get it, but like you can still be nostalgic for something and admit that it's terrible.
I just never could get over how goofy they all look running.
I mean, it's like, look, like I loved Uncle Buck when I was a kid. I loved that movie. I loved it. I thought it was absolutely hysterical. I watched it a couple years ago. Guess what? It's not as funny as it was when I was 10 years old, 12 years old. But you know what? I still love Uncle Buck, but it doesn't hold. It's not as high. I don't put it on such a pedestal. as I did, it's time for these people to not put Remember the Titans on such a pedestal. Grow up.
Thank you.
Grow up. It is time to put away childish things.
Well said. Well said. The larger point, the original point, I guess, was basically just that I got to look through Denzel's IMDb because there was a prompt about giving up, people's entire catalog of work, and everyone's just penciling Denzel in as somebody you had to keep. And I was like, man, outside of Training Day, I don't know what Denzel movies I personally would really have to keep. I'm not calling him overrated. I think he's a phenomenal actor, but I don't need to go and like rewatch Flight and see him be drunk and land in planes and stuff. I don't need that.
I liked American Gangster.
I liked it too, but I've never ever had the desire to rewatch it.
You're right. You're not gonna like my answer to that question. My answer to that question was Eddie Murphy.
See, I think with Eddie Murphy, I mean, I think that's where most people probably end up. I appreciate all of his stand-up comedy.
Exactly.
I think that is more relevant 30 years later. And honestly, I like listening to his R&B song Party all the time. I think it's a great bop. That is more relevant to me in 2023 than most Denzel movies, except Training Day. I love Training Day.
I'm not a stand-up comedy guy. I liked John Q when I was a kid. I thought that movie was
I think that's one if you went back and watched it, you'd be like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, no doubt. I've seen it one time when I was a kid, and I remember being like crestfallen at what this man,
what he was having to go through.
Yeah, like, I mean, just heartbroken about what this man was having to do for his kid to live. But yeah, I'm sure if I watched it now, I'd be like, what is this?
Inside Man was cool. Philadelphia is great. You ever watch Philadelphia with him and Tom Hanks?
I have not.
Phenomenal movie. He's a lawyer that is having to defend Tom Hanks or help prosecute for Tom Hanks because Tom Hanks is trying to sue a company for discrimination, I think is the plot, because he has AIDS and is dying. And, it's back in Philadelphia in like 1990. So like, a lot of hate for Tom Hanks, who was gay with AIDS. But great movie, but pretty depressing movie. Never want to watch that again. So I understand Denzel has some bops. It's just not a lot of hang time on him. Not a lot of rewatchability. I'd rather watch Shrek, honestly. Eddie Murphy, I'd rather watch Shrek. Shrek 2, more so than most Denzel movies. That's it. That's all I was saying.
No, I don't have a problem with that. I just remember the Titans is a terrible movie.
The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, mid.
Is that with Travolta?
Yeah, Two Guns, mid.
Travolta is an actor that I could totally do with.
Oh, yeah. I did really like Look Who's Talking when I was a kid. I did love that movie about the talking baby.
I could totally do away with John Travolta. I don't like the way he looks. Something about the way he looks. I don't know. It's just...
No, he's a creep, and he should be canceled for those stories that came out about him and those male assistants he was forced to himself on. He's a creep. He looks creepy to me. I don't like him. I did like Look Who's Talking. Pulp Fiction's a good movie. Kind of overrated, but we could do without it.
I find it to be a little overrated too. Yeah. I mean, it's good, but like, I think Kill Bill is really good too. And like, people don't talk about Kill Bill. The people don't talk about Kill Bill the way they talk about Pulp Fiction. I thought Uma Thurman and Kill Bill was amazing.
Agree. I love the scene with her and her and Vivica, and then Vivica's daughter, after she kills Vivica.
I think Kill Bill's a great movie.
Tells a little girl, if you feel a certain way about this in 13 years or so, come back and find me. I would like to see that movie of that little black girl coming to find her to kill Uma. But either way, any other questions?
Yeah. That's it. I love you.
I love you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Bye-bye. Trying to beat up a little bit. Yeah, okay, two friends and they both tens, looking nice, too bent, I should call it quits, but I'm not, no chances, we all dance in the night, tell me what's the odds, we can all get a bite. Okay, the last time we tried that, it didn't end well, plus you never know the story that they friends tell, and off the brown liquor, nigga feel like Denzel. Out in Washington, in the D.C., with a chocolate bitch, little freak bitch, get geeked off erratic shit. So what you do? Shut the club up like so y'all can. Man, that's another shit, paying child support
through the government. Joint custody weekends, you can't touch me. I love this bitch. We gon' travel and fill up the bucket list. How about 10 kids on the ranch on some southern shit? You mean sucker shit? Slaves to the pussy since you discovered it. 10 bands on Chanel purse, that's bad budgeting. Plus, you niggas always together is mad smothering. You simping over bitches, I never thought it would come to this. Why you always mad? I just wanna have fun with it. The winners ain't bad when you cruising in the summer with two friends and they both tens looking nice. Too bent, I should call it quits, but I'm not. No chances, we all dance in the night. Tell me what's the odds, we can all get a bite. Two friends and they both tens looking nice. Too bent, I should call it quits, but I'm not. No chances, we all dance in the night. Tell me what's the odds, yeah. We can all get a bite.
See, I'm not trying to be overbearing or give you a lecture. I just want you to see this shit from a different perspective. See, every hoe is a dog, and every dog has his day. You can't be loving on every mud that be falling astray.
My nigga, watch what you say. How you blocking the way? You just talking, nothing's coming from a logical
man,
place.
Man, I'm kicking knowledge today. You getting brolic today. Why you paying her son tuition?
Cause I'm his father today.
Okay.
Two friends and they both tens looking nice. Too bent, I should call it quits, but I'm not. No chances, we all dance in the light. Tell me what's the odds, we can all get a bite. Two friends and they both tens looking nice. Too bent, I should call it quits, but I'm not. No chances, we all dance in the light. Tell me what's the odds, we can all get a bite.